Today, in our study, we're in Lesson 4. We're going to be looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Well, the last time we saw Solomon look for the meaning of life in wisdom. Wisdom as it can be understood apart from eternity. He found no meaning in skillful, wise living under the sun. Remember, that means from a human perspective. Solomon had the means and the authority to do just about anything his heart desired. Now, he continued his search for meaning by testing his own heart to see how he would respond to two very common experiences of life, that of pleasure or amusement, and that of work or employment or labor. Would he find meaning to life in these things? So let's see what he says. Chapter 2, verse 1, he says, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. But surely this also was vanity. Solomon tested life's meaning in mirth and pleasure. He tested the theory many live under today, that the meaning of life is found in more and varied pleasures, entertainments, and excitements. Now, right up front, he gives his conclusion to this, but surely this is also vanity. He now explains how he came to this conclusion. He says in verse 2, I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? So Solomon tested the life lived for laughter, pleasure, fun. Like a modern celebrity, he probably ran from party to party, entertainment to entertainment. At the end of it all, he judged it to be madness and without any accomplishment. Then in verse 3, he says, I searched my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine while guiding my heart with wisdom and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. The preacher lived a life that was satiated with the pleasures of wine and frivolous amusements. He wanted to see what was good for the sons of men to do if this life was all there was. Now, 8 times in Ecclesiastes, Solomon used the Hebrew word meaning pleasure. And we'll see that he did not consider God a celestial killjoy who watched closely to make sure nobody was having a good time. But does living for pleasure bring meaning to life? Now, in verses 4 through 8, let's read those and see what he says here. I made my works great. I built myself houses, and I planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So here, the preacher looked not only for meaning and amusements, but also in great and legitimate, really, accomplishments that he had in his life. He tried to give life meaning through the satisfaction that comes through building and organizing and improving one's environment. If building, improving, and amassing great riches and accomplishments could give true meaning to life, the preacher would have found it. But he says in verse 9, so I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. So Solomon's accomplishments rightly lifted him to prominence, and he had whatever meaning fame could bring to life. In all of this, Solomon did not lose his wisdom or ability to genuinely assess meaning and fulfillment under the sun. Then in verse 10, he says, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my reward from all my labor. This is even more significant coming from Solomon, who had the resources to grant whatever his eyes desired and every pleasure of his heart. That's what he's saying here. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor. He's saying we might say that the preacher lived this period as a hedonist. I mean, you read that and you might think that. But no, that's not what he's saying here. He's saying that he was an intelligent one. He looked for legitimate pleasures in life, such as the rightful pleasure one takes in the accomplishments of hard work. That's what he means when he says, my reward from all my labor. In verse 11, he says, then I looked on all works, all the works of my hands, what they had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. So Solomon examined his life, lived for pleasure, even legitimate pleasures, and saw that it too was meaningless. All was vanity. Concerning work and accomplishments, there can be joy in the process of a great project, but what happens when they're finished? He found this too to be vanity and grasping for wind. And of course, when you say grasping for wind, can you grasp wind? No. So it's just futile. It's a futile attempt at something. He's not condemning work, but work alone cannot satisfy the human heart, is what he's saying. There was no enduring, eternal sense of meaning to life lived for these earthly pleasures and accomplishments. To end today's lesson, let's consider the pleasure a little further. Solomon specifically mentioned wine and laughter as two sources of pleasure used in his experiment. It takes very little imagination to imagine him as the king and in his splendid banquet hall. Just go to 1 Kings, verse 10, verse 21. Eating choice food, you can see it in 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 22 and 23, drinking the very best wine, watching the most gifted entertainers. But when the party was over and King Solomon examined his heart, it was still dissatisfied and empty. Solomon actually says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 13, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. So living for pleasure doesn't work. A person has to come back to the real world. We live in a pleasure-mad world. They envy a Solomon, those out there that are pleasure-mad, and would love to change places with him. Millions of people will pay almost any amount of money to buy experiences and temporarily escape the burdens of life. While there's nothing wrong with innocent fun, the person who builds his or her life only on seeking pleasure is bound to be disappointed in the end. Often for pleasure to continue to be fulfilling, the intensity of the pleasure must continually increase. We move from having a few drinks to having more drinks to having stronger drinks, then moving on to drugs, gambling, sex, money, fame, and any other pursuit. True pleasure comes from God, but we don't seek the pleasure, we seek Him. He blesses us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, it tells us in Ephesians 1:3, enabling us to live out the abundant life that Christ came to give us, that's available to us when we're saved. Every good and perfect gift is from God, James tells us. We will look at this a bit further into the study. But know this, when you're living your life in the will of God, seeking to please Him with your life, true pleasure will be yours forevermore. You can download the study guide for today's lesson at naomistable.com.